It shall be the first month of the year unto you. God established through Moses, as they traveled across the wildernesses, a system of months and years based on lunar moon readings. And this was to be the first month of the year to them. By the time the New Testament rolled around, the month was known as Nisan. And Jesus was crucified on the 14th of Nisan. But it's interesting, way back here in the Old Testament, long before Christ ever appeared in the manger in Bethlehem as a man, hundreds, thousands of years before that happened, God established in a pattern that all men could look back upon and see and understand exactly what was going to happen to his son Jesus Christ thousands of years in the future. So in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 3, he says, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb." So on the tenth day of what came to be known as Nisan in the New Testament, they would take a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats." So the similarity here with the numerous scriptures that refer to Jesus Christ as the lamb without blemish or without spot is irrevocably plain. That here on the 10th day of this month, they were to take to them every man a lamb. And it was to be a particular type of lamb, one without blemish, a male of the first year. "And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the month." So on the 10th of Nisan, a family man, the head of the family, would select a lamb that would be offered for that family, and it would be kept up from the 10th day of Nisan until the 14th day of Nisan in a special place that that family had for such a Passover lamb. "And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening." You know, one of the surest ways that a person's faith and hope can grow is after they have received the Spirit of Christ by belief in Him as Savior, and after the Spirit of God has come to indwell them permanently and forever. If they will let God's Spirit teach their new nature and will let themselves grow spiritually by seeing the trouble that God went to in all these things, it will strengthen their faith, it will make them more apt to serve God, and it will make them more apt to pull away from the ways of the world. Now here you have a perfect picture, thousands of years in advance, of precisely what God intends to do one day to His only begotten Son, to let Israel, actually on the 10th day of the month, take Him as their lamb, and then kill Him, crucify Him, on the 14th of that same month, Nisan, and this is a picture of that. Now, if you go back, and this is what I had to do as a young seminary student, and this was no easy task for me, and this was something they were going to grade, and my carnal man didn't want to look like a fool, and my spiritual man wanted to get it right because he wanted to understand. On the 8th of Nisan, Jesus arrives in Bethany. Now I want you to notice what happened thousands of years later and how meticulously God has let you know in advance what He was going to do so that you can have absolute confidence that this God is real and that this God can hear your prayers, does hear your prayers, and takes care of them in the way that He deems best. 8th of Nisan, Jesus arrives in Bethany, John 12:1. When Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom He raised from the dead. And on that particular day, which was the 8th of Nisan, which was 6 days before the Passover, He came to Bethany. On the 10th of Nisan, 2 days later, in Mark 11, 7 through 10, He was accepted as the Lamb. Notice back up in Exodus 12 and 3. In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, and lamb for an house. So here comes Jesus on the 10th of Nisan, and Israel accepts Him as their lamb. Mark 11:7-10. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees, and strode them in the way. And they that went before, and they that followed, cried, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David, that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And so they received him as Messiah. All of them? No. But a lot of them did. A lot of them looked upon this man as the one who was coming as Messiah. And so at least this portion accepted him as the one who was claiming to be the son of David. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. That was on the 10th of Nisan. On the 12th of Nisan, he was in Bethany. Mark 14:1. He says, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. So here, the nation being represented by Jerusalem has cried out on the 10th of Nisan, this is the one. They accepted him as their lamb. And just as it was pointed out in the book of Exodus, ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They were already plotting on the 12th of Nisan, and on the 14th of Nisan, they killed him. They crucified him. The 14th of Nisan, Jesus placed on the cross, Mark 15:24, and it was the third hour, and they crucified him. So here you have a perfect reason to have no doubt that God is just who he claims to be, and Jesus is the one whom he sent. It would have been impossible for such a magnificent structural pattern to have been laid down in the Old Testament and be perfectly fulfilled here by God had it not been true. And so to people that are not faithful, the reason they're not faithful is because down deep inside, they've never really let God's Spirit get a hold of them to see the reality of this and the truth and the confidence that you can place in Christ. You can place every single fiber of your faith in Christ. Now, when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a frightened, helpless child who needs a Savior. But God doesn't mean for you to stay that way. God means by his word, by his spirit, and the things he's done to show you that Jesus truly is the one who was to come to save all men who would put their faith in him. Not only does he want you to put his faith in him to be saved, but he wants that faith to grow. When you see things like this that God has established in the Old Testament and brought to fruition in the New Testament, no one but God could have done this. And it strengthens your faith and helps you to faith life. Well, I was a young seminary student, and I didn't know very much about things like this. And the only thing I knew how to do was to synoptically analyze. And it was my assignment, and so I worked on it. And I won't guarantee you that all these conclusions are correct, but at least I'm satisfied with it. So, Good Friday. Is Good Friday really Good Friday? Is that the day that Christ was crucified? Look, the important thing about this is not the day that he was crucified on, but that he was crucified. And the important thing is that he was resurrected from the dead. But the reason I'm showing you this is certainly not to impress you, but to make you see that God had an intricate plan that he had devised from the beginning of creation, and at a certain time appointed by God, he began to bring it all to fruition. I don't think Jesus was crucified on Friday, and my basis is Scripture. In Matthew, the 27th chapter, verses 62 and 63, and then we're going to look at Matthew 12:39-40. Notice, Matthew 27:62, the scribes, the Pharisees, the ones who crucified Christ, are now coming to the authorities and asking them to do something so Jesus' disciples won't come and steal his body. Now, the next day that followed the day of the preparation, Jesus has already been crucified at this time, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate. His body's already been placed in the tomb. saying, "Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again." And you can find scripture references in Mark that is precisely what he said. He said, "After 3 days, I will rise again." Now, if Jesus was crucified on Friday and put in the tomb that evening, then you've only got Saturday, and he is supposed to have risen on Sunday, and 3 days haven't passed. Well, I was at a loss, and I believe it was in the writings of Josephus, who has no reason to lie about the matter, but I believe it was in the reasoning in the writings of Josephus that he indicated that particular year that Christ was crucified, it was what is known as a double Sabbath. There was a high Sabbath on the day of unleavened bread on Thursday, and there was the regular Sabbath on Saturday. And so some of the references in the scripture that you read give you the impression that it's talking about what we standardly call the Jewish Saturday, which is always their Sabbath. But it is a fact that the Jews have other Sabbaths that do not fall on Saturday. And this particular year, because of the lunar calendar and the way that things, events had transpired, they had a double Sabbath that year, a high Sabbath. And that's one of the reasons for the confusion on this subject. But he answered and said unto them, Matthew 12:39, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas." Now notice what he says, the words of Christ. "For as Jonas," or Jonah, "was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly," he's giving you an illustration, "so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." One thing I do know, when Jesus says something, it's always true, it's always precise, and there is no error in it. And he's predicting here that for 3 days and 3 nights, he's going to be in the heart of the earth, or if you will, the grave. So if he was crucified on what we celebrate as Good Friday, how on earth could he have risen on Sunday and been 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth? Now, I also want us to take another look in the Old Testament. Now, this is not an educational schism. This is not something where I'm trying to show you something where you say, "Isn't that neat?" The impetus behind what I'm presenting is this. One of the reasons that I have a growing faith in Christ is because of these things that I'm showing you. Because God showed us exactly what was going to happen to Jesus thousands of years before it happened. He showed us in these Old Testament sacrifices what Jesus was going to do when his spirit left the cross, what his spirit was going to do. And he laid it out so beautifully that anyone that's ever done any synoptic analysis is swayed by it. I mean, you're just amazed. And so when I pray and I talk to God, I know he's there. And I know he's real. And I know he's genuine. Why? Because after I got saved, God began to prove himself to me. And it's through this book that he proves himself. And when you see all the things that God said in the Old Testament through these various things and practices that they had, and you see how uniquely it's tied to Christ and how deadly accurate and precise it is, you can't help but have faith in God. You've got to be saved first. But there is such a thing as spiritual growth that follows. And that spiritual growth is in his word. And when you develop a confidence in God based on that word, then your life begins to change and it begins to be made worth something to God. Leviticus 25:5, 6, 7, 11, and 12. "In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover." Now that's the day the Lord was crucified, on the 14th of Nisan. But notice what it says next. "And on the 15th day," the next day, "of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread." This particular year that Christ was crucified, the lunar calendar, all the various aspects of the Jewish law came into play, and they had what is known as a double Sabbath. They had a high Sabbath on the 15th of Nisan, which was Thursday, and they had the regular Sabbath on Saturday, which they always had. And Jesus was resurrected from the dead after the regular Sabbath, but he was crucified on the day before the high Sabbath, and he was in the tomb on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, 3 days and three nights. He was crucified on Wednesday, not on Friday. In the first day, ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. Now, when they came to the tomb, they hadn't done any work since this began. And the women had been resting all the way from the high Sabbath on the 15th, clean on through the regular Sabbath, and then they came to put spices on the body at that time. And he shall, verse 11, and he shall wave the sheave before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. They would take large stalks of grain, wheat, whatever. And on the morrow after the Sabbath, after the 15th day of the same month, the Sabbath that's referred to here is the 15th day of the month of Nisan, and it is recalled here a Sabbath. So Jesus was crucified on the 14th of Nisan. The 15th of Nisan was the next day in the beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. On the morrow after the Sabbath, after the 15th, on Friday, here is a picture of a priest in the Old Testament waving a sheave offering back and forth before God. And the reason he's waving it in the hopes that God will receive that sheave offering. And then God pictures to us what is supposed to happen on that day regarding another he lamb that is sacrificed. And ye shall offer that day, when ye wave the sheave, and he lamb without blemish of the first year, for a burnt offering to the Lord. I'm going to tell you what I believe that pictures. I believe it pictures the crucifixion of Jesus Christ on the 14th of Nisan, Wednesday, if you will. I believe it pictures him ascending into heaven on the day after the 15th. And I believe what he offered before God was his own life as a man, his own works as a man. And God received that. And God considered it justification for the sins of all men forever who would trust in his Son. And the offering was received and completed, and the Son was glorified as the living Son of Almighty God, in whom the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily forever. And I believe God pictured that way back in the Old Testament before it ever happened. I think what he offered before God was his own blood. And that blood offering of that he lamb pictured Christ offering his own blood as a wave offering before God. And God received it for the sins of all men. Now, in Exodus 12, 3 and 4, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb. And in verse 6, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And then they killed the lamb. The evidence is irrefutable. It's there. It's real. It's genuine. And it gives me strength and courage to serve God. It's things like this, after you get saved, when you see the mighty hand of God and his plan working, and you see the things that his Spirit reveals through his word that makes life worth living, it makes serving God real, and it gives you a firm hope and foundation and basis for what you believe. So basically, on the 14th of Nisan, now look, Could I be wrong about this? Yes. I don't think I'm wrong about the pictorial illustration. I may not have all these dates and times and things exactly right, but after all, I was a young man then. It was many years ago. But one thing I do know, the picture's there. The 14th of Nisan, Passover Day, Leviticus 23 and 5. We've already covered that. It was the 14th of Nisan. It was when they were to kill the lamb. It was Crucifixion Day. I call it a Jewish Wednesday. They don't really celebrate the Wednesdays like we do. The Jewish day started at sunset. So at sunset, on the what we would call the 13th, the 14th of Nisan began for them their Wednesday. We don't believe Wednesday starts until midnight. But their Jewish Wednesday would start on 12 o'clock, or 6 p.m., but the day before. Goes from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. On the 15th day of Nisan, the first day of unleavened bread, Leviticus 23, 6 and 7, it was a high Sabbath. And so on the 15th of Nisan, you had Crucifixion Day plus 1. That's the Jewish Thursday, which started at 6 p.m. and went to 6 p.m. On the 16th of Nisan, it was the morrow after the Sabbath, Leviticus 23, 11. It was the day of waving the sheave and offering the lamb. That was Crucifixion Day plus 2. If you'll allow me, I'll call that a Jewish Friday from 6 p.m. on what we would call Thursday to 6 p.m. on what we call Friday. And then on the 17th of Nisan, you had the regular Jewish Sabbath, what we call Saturday. It was the year of the double Sabbath that year, and this was the second Sabbath. And that's one of the things that led to the confusion and one of the reasons that they made Friday Good Friday, because they didn't know in the times of medieval times, and they didn't know back in the early days of after the first part of the church age, they didn't know that, and so they established Good Friday. The Apostle Paul didn't establish Good Friday. The first New Testament church didn't establish Good Friday. Good Friday was established by the Catholic Church, and they simply made a goof. On the 18th of Nisan, that was the first day of the week, what we call Sunday, and Jesus rose from the dead. So if you take a look at what happened, basically, Jesus is placed in the tomb just before the beginning of the Jewish High Sabbath at sunset on Wednesday. He is in the tomb from sunset to sunrise on the Jewish Thursday. That's one full night. He is in the tomb from sunset to sunrise on the Jewish Friday. That's another full night. He is in the tomb from sunrise to sunset on the Jewish Saturday. That's one full night. He is resurrected on the first day of the week after three nights in the tomb. He is in the tomb from sunrise to sunset on the Jewish Thursday. That's one full day. He is in the tomb from sunrise to sunset on the Jewish Friday. One full day. He is in the tomb from sunrise to sunset on the Jewish Saturday. One full day. He is resurrected on the first day of the week after 3 days in the tomb. I know one thing. When Jesus said 3 days and three nights, he meant 3 days and three nights. When Jesus said after 3 days, he meant after 3 days. And so since that was the year of the double Sabbath, he wasn't just in the tomb from Good Friday through Saturday and resurrected on Sunday. He was in there 3 full days and 3 full nights. And so when you talk about these particular things having to do with the Lord, the important thing is that he was resurrected. And the important thing is that he told us all these years in advance what he was going to do. You know, I thank God for my salvation. And I know in testimony services when I grew up as a boy, the most popular statement that was made by all the people who were there is, I want to thank the Lord for my salvation. Well, I do thank the Lord for my salvation. I thank the Lord for my salvation more than anything else. But I tell you what I also thank the Lord for, almost with equal validity. I thank God for putting all this in the Old Testament, because he knew I was weak in the flesh. He knew that man would need something to booster up his faith, and he gave us this book. And when he gave us this book and showed all these patterns, how a lamb would be taken on the 10th, kept up till the 14th, and then killed, he painted a picture of what was going to happen to his son. And he did it thousands of years in advance so that you and I sitting right here could say, wow, wow, I can have faith in that God, because he is God. And look at what he has done and what he has proved. There's great wonderment in all this. Was Jesus crucified on Wednesday or Thursday or Friday? The important thing is not the precise date that he was created, whether it was Wednesday or Thursday or Friday. The important thing is that he was crucified. And even more important than that, more important than anything else, he is risen. And I think when the First New Testament church went to the tomb, they said, "Why seek ye the dead among the living?" The two angels that were there, appearing as men, "Why seek ye the dead among the living? He is risen." Every time I go to Israel, I'm always amazed at the intensity that people feel at a garden tomb. I don't belittle that. I'm not making fun of them at all. I'm glad they feel that way. But those two men said, "Why seek ye the dead among the living? He is risen." Do you know that there is no record whatsoever that they ever went back, John, Peter, Paul, ever went back and paid a pilgrimage to that tomb? I don't think they ever did. They went back to the Passover. I don't think they went out there to where Jesus was crucified and said, "Oh, I wish the Master was here." I don't think they ever went back to the tomb and placed any great reverence on it. I believe that what they placed reverence on was the fact that he was risen. And after AD 70, they called the city of Jerusalem Sodom and Egypt, after it was actually leveled. John called it that in the book of Revelation. I don't think they put great emphasis on artifacts and things you can touch and taste and see and feel. And I think what we're supposed to get out of this time of year is, he is not here. He is risen. And he's alive. And he lives in us. And he's real. And he's genuine. And his Father went to an awful lot of trouble to show us the truth, the reality of faith, and to booster and strengthen our faith after we receive Christ by faith. So I thank God for these things. They're not just technical discourses. They're things that have to do with life. Every morning when I get up, the God who told me all this was going to happen in the Old Testament before it ever happened is my God. The God who said he would crucify his son, crucified him. The God who pictured his death through Isaac and Abraham, carried out the picture. He is my God. And such a God who did all that for me must love me deeply. And so if a person begins to grasp the reality of how much God loves them, it's a whole lot easier to serve a God who loves you, because he overlooks your mistakes and he forgives you and he helps you and he strengthens you and he watches over you. That's our God. So this time of year at Easter, I think we ought to concentrate on the fact that he is risen. And I think we ought to make an effort within ourselves to yield more of our lives and our hearts and our will to him so that his purposes can be accomplished in us. I have become convinced over the years that the purpose of every child of God whom Jesus receives, the purpose of every child's God's life, is to let Christ live his life over again in him. I think that's what happens when you get saved. Christ wants to live his life again in you. He wants to live it again for his Father. And you and I are the only obstacles. He is not here. He is risen. As Kay comes, as Johnny comes, and as the lights are turned on, I just thank God for these things that he's written. I thank God I can go to bed at night and know that the things that I have believed are true. And it's all here in this book. Religion is being turned into a sideshow. Religion is being turned into a sideshow. It's not a sideshow. It's this book. And the things that God has given us in this book are living. Serving God is a quiet, peaceful, gentle endeavor. I'm an extrovert, a loudmouth extrovert, so my way of worshiping God may be a little different. But inside, I'm a very quiet person who likes to love God in the quiet and calm of a still evening, and not through the hoopla that religion has turned into. I stand in shame and wish there were something I can do. But I know this. I've got this book. And when Jesus comes, I want to be found studying this book and learning the things in my life that are deficit, so that God's Spirit can be allowed to change those things by my submission to his Spirit. What number, John?
405.
Please stand. 405. Please stand. Thank you all for coming. Now,